So Mark 15, we're going to just kind of walk through some of this. And it was on a morning much like today that we know the Lord rose out of the grave. And so he went in, was crucified and put in the grave on Friday. And then Sunday morning, he come out of the grave showing victory over sin, victory over death, victory over Satan. And so it's a good thing, and we should focus on that. But let's back up a few mornings, and in Mark 15, starting in verse 1, it says, "As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and they led him away and delivered him over to Pilate." So this took place around 5 or 6 in the morning. So it was early in the morning. They had already had a trial through the night, which is an illegal trial. And so 5 or 6 in the morning, they come together to pass him on to Pilate, because the Jews had no authority to kill somebody. And that's what they were seeking. So they had to have approval from the higher-ups, which in this case is Pilate. And so they delivered him there. Verse 2 says, "Pilate asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And he answered him, 'You have said so.'" So Jesus claimed to be king of the Jews. He wasn't just king of the Jews. And Pilate is pointing it out, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He wasn't just that king, even though he was the rightful king and he was in the bloodline to be the king of the Jewish, the Israel. He was also king of the universe. And we know the Bible says he's king of kings and lord of lords. And so one of these days, we'll see that. One of these days when Jesus returns and takes control, we will see him as the true King of Kings, and because that's who he is. And so as Pilate asked him this, Jesus said, "You've said so." And they actually wanted to make him King of the Jews. Israel recognized him and wanted to install him as a king, but he was more than just their king. Verse 3 says, "The chief priests accused him of many things." So the accusations were many. They had put together false witnesses. They had said these things. And all through, you'll find Jesus was silent. He never answered back the accusations that were placed against him. So he fell silent. And then it says, verse 4 and 5, "Pilate again asked him, 'Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you.' But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed." And then the fact that Jesus didn't try to defend himself, Pilate found that amazing, because most people try to defend themselves. Even if they're guilty, they'll try to mount a defense. I don't know if you've ever watched Dateline or 48 Hours or any of those shows, but you'll find a guy or a woman, whoever, and you know the things that they've done point to their guilt, and then their lawyers will come up with some crazy defense, even though it's obvious they're guilty, because they want to try to defend the person. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't go get legal help. He just fell silent. Why do you think that is? He knew God's plan. He knew God's will. And he knew this was part of God's will for him to go to the cross. And that was his purpose in being here. So there was no sense in trying to get out of that, because that was the reason he was here. So he fell silent, knowing it was God's plan. Here's what happened in verse 6. "Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked." So verse 6, the custom was to release a prisoner during this time. And of course, this is leading up to the Passover. This is the Passover event, and they would release a prisoner, and so that was the normal custom. So verse 7 says, among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. Barabbas was already, it identifies him here, he was a rebel. He had already been found guilty, convicted, was in prison. They already had him locked up. And on top of that, he was a murderer. He had already taken the life of somebody. And it says in the insurrection, that's a group who rebels against the country. And so he was in this insurrection. Evidently, he was a leader in this insurrection. And so he led them to take lives. And so it would be almost like a modern day terrorist, an Osama bin Laden or somebody like that. That's who Barabbas would remind you of, someone like that. And so there's that guy. And then verse 8 says, the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did, that is, to release from his custody, to set them free, someone who they had in custody. So basically, he's already offered Barabbas, and Pilate is kind of caught in the middle, and he's trying to get out of it. He's not doing a very good job, but he's trying to get out of it. So that's why he offered Barabbas. And so they wanted to remind him of the custom to release somebody. And so it says here, verse 9, he answered them, do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? Jesus, the one you who has been known to be the king of the Jews, king of the universe, do you want me to release that one? And here's what I want you to think about is the differences between Barabbas, who we know is already in prison, a rebel, a murderer, a leader of murder, and then Jesus, who is sinless, who is perfect. Barabbas took life. Jesus restored life. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He opened the eyes of the blind. The miracles go on and on. And so when you try to compare the two, they're complete opposites. And I think that's why Pilate offered Barabbas, because trying to help them see the difference between Barabbas and Jesus. The differences were so great, hoping maybe that they would pick Jesus to be set free. But by their actions, then you can see the true condition of their heart. So, you want me to release Jesus? Verse 10, for he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. So, the envy was the problem. The chief priest they resented Jesus. They didn't like the things that he did, the way he did them. It went on and on. He broke their law when he did something on the Sabbath. They were upset with him. When he healed people, they were upset with him. When he ate with sinners, they were upset with him. And so they just resented him. And they were, as Pilate says here, they were envious. They were jealous of him. So verse 11, he goes on, says that the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him released, have them release Barabbas instead. So the chief priests, the religious leaders who are supposed to be helping lead people closer to God, is out stirring the crowd in order for the crowd to go against Jesus. The one who, whether they liked him or not, the one who had been doing good, who had restored life, who had healed people, who had helped people, and who had not sinned, hadn't murdered, hadn't been a rebel, hadn't been convicted. And so they're trying to stir the crowd against Jesus. And so that just shows the condition, true condition of their heart. So verse 12 says, Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." So what do? Pilate asked. And they yelled out, "Crucify him." Even verse 14, Pilate said, "Why? What evil has he done?" They shouted all the more, "Crucify him." Pilate could not find anything in Jesus, in his history, what they testified about that deserved death. But he was in the middle. The Jews were going to be angry, or if he turned him loose, or you know, he was going to lose his position as or status. So it was he was kind of caught in the middle here. And but when I see this, it reminds me of what I see on TV today in these protests, and how the crowd is worked into a frenzy. And, you know, they're trying to get answers. And Pilate says, or chief priest stirred the crowd. Pilate says, "What do I do?" They're yelling, "Crucify him." "What has he done?" "Crucify him." They don't care what he's done. They don't care who he is. They don't care anything about it. They just keep saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." That's all they want, is to crucify him. And I don't know if you've ever watched the news and seen some of these people out in these protests. They get worked up in a frenzy, and it doesn't matter what's going on around them. They're just shouting over and over and over the same stuff. And it's almost the same idea here. And you see that where people are just worked up and they're focused on one thing, and they didn't even stop long enough to think about what it was they were doing. Crucifying, crucifying. Well, remember, this all started around 5 or 6 in the morning. And when you look at verse 14, "What evil has he done?" They shouted the more, "Crucifying." Verse 15, Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. And then we find him put on the cross. And verse 25 points out that it says here it was the third hour when they crucified him. That's 9 a.m. So overnight trial, illegal, 5 or 6, they deliver him to Pilate. By 9 o'clock, he's nailed to the cross. He's on the cross. So in the morning, it happened quickly. So the application here is, even though this is a tragedy, it's heartbreaking, and when you see the fall of humanity and the wickedness in the hearts, even of religious leaders, it does sting and it does break your heart. But the good news is, it is a perfect picture of the gospel. Notice here that Barabbas, who was maybe the most wicked of the wicked, he was set free. Why was he set free? Because they wanted to put Jesus on the cross. Isn't that a good picture of the gospel? You and I are sitting here peacefully, enjoying the beauty of the morning. We can thank God for that. But we're sitting here because, even though we have evil desires in our heart, we have wicked intentions, we know that we have broken the law, we have sinned against God, the Bible tells us that, even though all that has happened, we've been set free, we've been offered grace and mercy because Jesus went to the cross. He took your punishment, just like he took Barabbas' punishment, so that Barabbas could go free. So it is a great illustration right here in Scripture of the gospel message. Jesus took your sin, went to the cross, and he died so that you can walk free and be free of that guilt, be free of that sin, be free of that punishment. The debt has been paid, so you have been offered freedom because Jesus went to the cross. So it was early on Friday morning, they crucified him. But as you've heard all the great preachers of the past say, Today may be Friday, but what's coming? Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And you know, when you look at the whole story of the cross, and I'm sure at this moment on Friday morning, things looked pretty bleak. And even among the disciples who were following Jesus, their world was shattered. They didn't fully understand what was going on, even though Jesus was trying to help them understand. They didn't understand, and their world was shattered at this moment. How could this happen? And it says later on, many of them just went back to their jobs, and they were kind of stunned. But Sunday's coming, and Sunday changed everything. When Jesus walked out of that tomb, and he was alive and well, they didn't fully understand then. We may not fully understand now, but we can study and we can look and see what happened, that God brought him back from the dead, showing that he was victorious over death. He was victorious over the grave. He was victorious over sin. And most of all, that meant the sacrifice of Jesus that was offered was received. And God accepted that on behalf of you and me. So our sin debt can be taken care of. So take advantage of today. Take advantage of each moment that you have. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then thank Him and praise Him for the offering that He gave in order for you to be saved. If you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, I would love to spend some time with you and help you with that. Jesus is the only means by which we can be saved. He is the only means by which we can get to heaven. And so hopefully, if you need that in your life, I would be more than happy to help you with that and pray with you and help you figure out how to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But think about Barabbas. He was a wicked guy. You may not be guilty of all the things he was guilty of, but the Bible says you're still guilty of sin, whether it's as simple as a lie or stealing something or, you know, looking at somebody else with lustful eyes. You're still guilty of that, and there needs to be a debt that needs to be paid. Well, the good news is Jesus paid it. You can receive Him into your heart and seek that forgiveness. Amen? Let's pray together, and then they've got some food and coffee back there, and so we can help ourselves here in a moment, and I'm going to go ahead and pray for that as well. Father, we love You so much. We are grateful for the opportunity that You give us to spend time together and fellowship. And most of all, Lord, we're thankful for the sin debt that was paid upon the cross. What an amazing thing this is, Lord, when we look at Barabbas being set free, a picture of us being set free. Mercy and grace given to us because Jesus went to the cross. We love You, Lord, and we thank You so much for loving us. I pray You'd bless this food. And thank You for the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.